Well, it's good to see everybody in the Acts 28 Power Talk room again. Thank you so much for your encouragement by sharing together in our fellowship. We're in a series which relates to Acts chapter 1 verse 6, the question that the disciples asked the Lord after 40 days of instruction and having their mind opened to understand the scriptures. Rather than write a book about the apostolic mistakes, we would much rather look at this question from those who really did have their minds opened and had been taught for 40 days and find out precisely how this question can assist us to understand the book of Acts and the things written during that time. Acts 1 verse 6, then indeed those coming together, they ask him saying, Lord, do you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? What time did they mean by at this time? Well, we saw in Luke 24 verse 1 that it was the first of weeks, those weeks between the wave offering of the first fruit in the Feast of Unleavened Bread all the way through to Pentecost. And the Lord had taught them in Acts 1, we know, through in verse 3 for 40 days. So Pentecost being 50, there were only 10 days left. So we are beginning to appreciate that they asked, will you at this time of the Feast of Pentecost, specifically, restore the kingdom to Israel? And we wonder how that could be, since trumpets was, of course, in the seventh month. But tonight, before continuing in that vein, we pause by noticing in verse 9 of Acts chapter 1 that a cloud received the Lord out of their sight. And since we will be looking even more at Exodus 19 and the events around that typical Pentecost, we notice that a cloud is heavily featured in the salvation of Israel. And of course, a cloud we find is featured in Matthew 24 and 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and also the book of Revelation. So it's helpful, I think, to take a little sidestep and look at clouds tonight and how they feature in the church, which is Israel. You know, in this room, we don't say Israel and the church, or Israel or the church. What we do in this room is we say the church, Israel, the church, which is his body. So, at this time, will you now, asked the disciples, will you now restore the kingdom to Israel? That's really what they were saying. And the more we study the type in the Old Testament, the more we appreciate their question as not being a mistake, but one that was very, very accurate from those who knew what they were asking. And we should well learn from it. Now, going back to Exodus 19, we notice that this is indeed the third month, and the third month equivocating to the time of Pentecost. So here we have in this chapter that which is, or are events that relate to the typical acted out Feast of Pentecost. And when we read through Exodus 19, which we have done a few times, we find that actually the emphasis here is not so much about supernatural gifts being shed upon the believers or the remnant of Israel. It's all about the Lord descending in a cloud and Israel being gathered at the bottom of the mountain and Moses, a remnant, going up to meet the Lord in clouds, which we've looked at in previous lessons, which you can find on www.bibleunderstanding.com/ptaudios.htm. Now, here we have then the Feast of Pentecost, typically, i.e. the pattern. Remember I've mentioned that if I don't follow a pattern, then the shirt that I ultimately create will be a total mess, and I may not even be able to put it on. Yes, pattern's important, isn't it? If God is giving us a pattern here in the Old Testament, and we totally disregard it, or B, know nothing about it, then we are going to make a total mess of the finished product. And what we're seeing here are things that relate to Israel, the church Israel, as opposed to the church which is his body. And we have to distinguish things that are different, not extinguish things that are different, correct? So in verse 3, we have a voice, the Lord calling to Moses out of the mountain. The nation of Israel have gathered around Mount Sinai. Now, where Mount Sinai is a mute point. The fact that in the third month, around the time of Pentecost, they're at the mountain and we hear a voice, God calling from a mountain with a voice, which reminds us of Transfiguration and 1 Thessalonians 4. There are voices also in the book of Revelation, aren't there? Now, in verse 9, we have Jehovah said to Moses, "Lo, I come to you in a thick cloud, and the people may hear when I speak with you and believe you forever." So now the voice of God, which the nation of Israel hear, is in fact now identified with the Lord coming in a thick cloud. And coming in a thick cloud, friends, and a voice, is in a pattern and relates to the church which is Israel. Isn't it interesting that all of these things are in the Old Testament and they're all about Israel, but as soon as we get to Matthew 24 and 1 Corinthians 15 and 1 Thessalonians 4 and the book of Revelation, God speaking with a voice on a mountain through a cloud is all about the church. Now, isn't that totally ignoring the pattern? So we have a cloud and a voice. In verse 13 of Exodus, and this is not a full revision, here we have God descending, that is the Lord descending out of heaven in a cloud with a voice, and we have a trumpet. A trumpet. So in this typical Pentecost, instead of it being all about supernatural gifts, remember? Here it is. It's about the Lord descending out of heaven in a cloud with a voice and with a trumpet blast. Once again, I suggest, isn't it interesting that in this pattern, all this is about the church Israel, but as soon as we see the same things in the New Testament, Israel's put aside and it's now all about us. Well, it wasn't about us in the pattern, now was it? So then we have the trumpet, which you can also find in Exodus 19:13, verse 13, verse 16, and verse 19. It also occurs in chapter 20, verse 18. Now have a look at this. Here's something really, really interesting, which I don't think I've brought out hitherto, but it's something I know that will jump off the page when we read it. Verse 11 of Exodus 19. Okay, We've got the Lord descending out of heaven, we've got a cloud, we've got a voice, we've got a trumpet, and look at verse 11. And be ready for the third day. I have featured in previous audios that the third day does not only relate to the Lord's resurrection, it relates to Israel's restoration and Israel's gathering. After 2 days, says Hosea, he shall raise us up again. For the third day, Jehovah will come down. Now, what phrase jumps out of the verse? In the sight of all the people. In the sight of all the people? You know what? Can you remember a verse of Scripture anywhere which reflects that? Well, say if you're struggling at those frontal lobes, I'm going to type into the room Revelation 1:7. Behold, he comes with... Well, isn't it a conspicuous word there, clouds? But guess what? Behold, he comes with clouds, and every eye will see him. Just as in Exodus 19, verse 11, he will come down in a cloud with a trumpet, with a voice, in the sight of all the people. Again, if in Exodus 19 the Lord is coming down in the sight of all the people, and he's coming in a cloud, and it's all about the church Israel, I wonder if it's still about Israel in Revelation chapter 1, verse 7, when he comes with clouds and every eye will see him. Oh, by the way, Let's get back to Exodus 19 via Revelation 1 verse 6, where it says, "And made us kings and priests to God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." And do you know what? The fact that Israel would be a peculiar treasure, and of course they will be a kingdom of priests in Exodus 19 verse 6. So there we go. We jumped over to Revelation and came back by all the connecting elements to Exodus 19. Don't you think it's wonderful how all these things are so harmonious and consistent? Don't you think if we've got all of these things in the typical Pentecost, and it's all about the Lord descending out of heaven with a shout and a cloud and a trumpet, and every eye seeing him in Exodus 19, and it's about Israel, don't you think it might be about Israel in the book of Revelation and Thessalonians and Corinthians and Matthew 24? I tell you what, friends, there's a good chance, isn't there? But here's something else. When the disciples just before Pentecost said, "Will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" they had already known and had their minds opened to Exodus 19 and many other passages, and they knew that at typical Pentecost in the Old Testament, the Lord descended with a cloud and a shout and a voice and angels and a trumpet, and all of Israel saw him. Are we beginning to put these things together? I hope so. Isn't it fabulous? By the way, coming back to Exodus 19, verse 9, and the Lord coming in a thick cloud, you'll find clouds featured in another covenant, won't you? Because this is the setting up of the old covenant between God and Israel. But do you know there was clouds and a rainbow in a cloud, correct, in Genesis chapter 9? Now, isn't that interesting? Clouds, a rainbow, and a covenant, and it all relates to the earth. So, we have clouds linked between God and the earth. Isn't that amazing? We don't have clouds linked with God and the church, which is his body, in heavenly places, do we? Now, just catching a little history about clouds without going to the verses, but you know, in Exodus 13, 21 to 22, we had the Lord going before Israel in clouds. Prior to our lesson, we read Numbers chapter 9, where it spoke about Israel journeying when the cloud was lifted up from the tabernacle and resting when the cloud rested on the tabernacle, a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. In Exodus 13, 21 and 22, we had the Lord going before them. So we have this establishment that the Lord was dwelling in that cloud. You're beginning to see this. The voice from the cloud, descending in a cloud, the Lord dwelling in that cloud. So now we're starting to get a hint that when we read about a cloud as it relates to Israel, we have the Lord dwelling in that cloud. Do you have it? The Lord went before them, Exodus 13, 21, by day in a pillar of cloud, and he led them the right way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day or night. In Exodus 14, we have a really interesting verse or two in verse 19, which is helpful. You have the cloud going at the beginning or the front of the camp of Israel and returning or going to the rear, standing behind them in Exodus 19. But in Exodus 14, 24, "And in the morning watch it happened that Jehovah looked to the army of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the army of the Egyptians." There he is, in that cloud, looking and troubling Israel's enemies. Cloud. The Lord's presence, troubling Israel's enemies. And of course, when he comes in clouds, he's destroying that beast, that image, that lawless one, isn't he? Israel's enemies, removing Gentile dominion. And I bet already you thought of Daniel and the Lord coming in a cloud, the Son of Man, of course, as the rock, crushing the feet of that Nebuchadnezzar image and setting up his own kingdom. Oh, the Lord in the cloud, destroying Israel's enemies. You see, when we put cloud into the New Testament, how all of these things are so essential if we really want to follow the pattern. If we don't know this and we see a cloud, oh, well, God's coming for the church. No, if you've got a cloud in 1 Thessalonians 4 and you want to follow the pattern, we want to follow the pattern, then we listen to what the Old Testament tells us, don't we? And recognize that the cloud is a defense for the nation of Israel and a destruction of Israel's enemies, for the Lord's presence is in that cloud. He comes in a cloud. He dwells in a cloud. He guides in a cloud. He speaks from a cloud. He troubles Israel's enemies from a cloud. Are you getting the picture, people? Cloud. The Lord. The church Israel. Exciting, isn't it? Here's something else in Exodus 16. Exodus 16 is all about the Sabbath. It's the first occurrence of manna. Here's Israel grumbling and they get manna. Do you see? So now I've got to show you Exodus 16 and verse 10 in this context. And it happened as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the sons of Israel. This is not the church which is his body, is it? They turned toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of Jehovah appeared in the cloud when the Sabbath was given to Israel and when manna was given to Israel. Jehovah, the glory thereof appearing in a cloud. This cloud, I mean, it just doesn't seem to me to be an aside, do you? I don't think it's sort of something that God felt he'd throw in there because it was a fill-up space. I think he dwells in clouds as he relates to Israel. But wait, there's more. Exodus 24. This is a wonderful passage, and we've been here before. In Exodus 24, as you know, in verses 9 and 10, Moses, Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders saw the God of Israel, Exodus 24, 9 and 10. It's a marvelous thing, isn't it? Look at all the glory that they saw of the God of Israel. And there was under his feet, as it were, a paved work of sapphire stone, and as the essence of the heavens for clearness. Wonderful thing, isn't it? And of course, that didn't mean any of them were going to heaven. When you see similar descriptions of the Lord's presence in Ezekiel, and when you see similar expressions of the Lord's presence in the book of Revelation, we've already had them here in Exodus, haven't we? But in verse 15, I didn't want to go back to that, but remember in previous audios, there were two gatherings when the Lord descended in a cloud with a voice and the angels, trumpets and an earthquake, and with fire and with judgment. There was the gathering of Israel at the base of the mountain, and a remnant went up to meet the Lord in the clouds. Two meetings when he came with a trumpet in a cloud. And we have two meetings in the New Testament, don't we? In Matthew 24 and 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. If their pattern here is about Israel and a remnant of Israel, I think that might be exactly what the reality is in Matthew and Thessalonians, not the church which is his body. Now in verse 15, Moses went up into the mountain and a cloud covered the mountain. So here we go. Moses, one of the remnant, going up to meet the Lord in a cloud. And in verse 16, again, we have this repeat of a voice speaking to Moses out of the mount in the midst of the cloud. And in verse 18, and Moses went up into the midst of the clouds and was there 40 days and 40 nights. Okay. All right, in Exodus 24:18, Moses was in the cloud in the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. Now, as you know, there was a second giving of the law, and we find this in Exodus 34. And we're going to go there now, a second giving. The first tablets were thrown down, weren't they? And God gave Moses a second copy. And here again, in a covenant and a giving of the law, we have the Lord coming down in the cloud and stood with there and proclaimed the name of Jehovah. And this is very important. Here is the Lord revealing himself to Moses. And Jehovah passed by before him and proclaimed Jehovah, Jehovah God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. Do you know what, friends? The Lord reveals himself in a cloud to Moses. The Lord reveals himself to the nation of Israel in a cloud. He spoke. They heard his voice. And there's coming a day in the future when everything that took place in Mount Sinai and around it will be fulfilled for that people. They will see him descend in a cloud, every eye will. They will hear a trumpet. They will hear a voice and a shout and see angels. And God will reveal himself, the God of Israel, his glory, himself, will be revealed in a cloud to these people. And what does Zechariah say? They will look, chapter 12, verse 10 of Zechariah, on the one that they pierced. The Lord descending in a cloud is to reveal himself to the nation of Israel just as he did in the Old Testament. Do you think the Lord descending in a cloud in the New Testament is to snatch away the church which is his body? That's not following the pattern, is it? That's ignoring the pattern. Totally ignoring the pattern. Is it any wonder the Christian community is in such a mess? Now, if you'd like to see just how skillful I am at making a shirt when I don't follow the pattern, then let me tell you, you probably will spend a lot of time in fits of laughter, especially the ladies here who've spent their lives sewing, I guess. But Brian would make a good butcher, especially if he didn't follow the pattern. Yeah, his arm will be in the neck area. You've got it, Elaine. That's it. Now, just as you can imagine the monstrosity that I would construct without following the pattern, can you believe and can you appreciate and understand how divided the Christian community is because we will not follow what God has simply put in the Old Testament pattern. Tonight, friends, even now, have we read anything that is so obscure, ambiguous, and grey that we can't follow it? Absolutely not. This is so simple, isn't it? It becomes difficult when somehow or other we start with what is called replacement theology. And all of these things that relate to the church Israel suddenly, magically if you will, and for no logical reason, suddenly become the church which is his body. Now that's not being consistent with the word of truth, is it? So the Lord reveals himself. Do you understand? In a cloud. He guides Israel in a cloud. He speaks from a cloud. He troubles Israel's enemies from a cloud. Is this, how clear is this? So when you see a cloud in the New Testament anywhere, in a context, you're going to say, wow, I know about clouds because I followed the pattern in the Old Testament. Exodus chapter 40. Exodus chapter 40. And verse 34. Well, actually, verse 33. And Moses read up the court all around. Exodus 40, 33. And the tabernacle and the altar and set up the screen of the court gate and Moses finished the work. And the cloud, oh, here we go, covered the tabernacle of the congregation, and the glory of Jehovah filled the tabernacle. Here's another feature of a cloud. In this context, the Lord's glory fills the tabernacle. The cloud covers. The Lord's glory fills the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter into the tabernacle of the congregation because of the cloud stayed on it and the glory of Jehovah filled the tabernacle. That's where the Lord dwells, you see. That's where the Lord will reign on the earth. His presence in Israel's tabernacle anticipates the day he comes in a cloud. You know what? When the Lord comes in a cloud, no one's going to be where he, the Lord, sits. Did you know that? In Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah the prophet says, "In the day that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord lifted up and his train filled what? Heavenly places? No, his train filled the temple. And King Uzziah died because he was a king that went into the Lord's temple. He was acting as a priest. What happened to him? He got struck with leprosy. And later, he died. I wouldn't want to be a false king in the Lord's temple when he came with a cloud, would you? Because Moses couldn't go into the tabernacle, and woe betide anybody else who was a false king trying to change times and seasons or who had set up an image in the temple. I wouldn't want to be in there, would you? If Isaiah got struck with leprosy, woe betide anyone else who was where the Lord sits. And isn't that what Thessalonians is about? The lawless one setting up an image, putting himself up above God, and being where the Lord sits? And he comes in a cloud, just like he came here in a cloud, to the place where he will set up his throne. Hey, isn't this simple? I hope you're enjoying this. I mean, I do. I just love it because, you know what? By knowing the pattern, the New Testament is so clear, isn't it? It's just so clear. Now, the Lord and his glory filling the tabernacle, you can also find in 1 Kings 8:10 to 12 and 2 Chronicles 5:13. And you can also read Ezekiel 10, 1 to 4, for the glory of the Lord and cherubims and clouds filling the tabernacle. You can also look up Isaiah 4, 2, 4, 5, 6, and Zechariah 2, 5, and 10. Some phenomenal passages of Scripture about the Lord coming in a cloud to his dwelling place in Israel's temple. Now, I'm going to Leviticus for a reading here, and it's Leviticus as it features the Great Day of Atonement, Leviticus 16. And Jehovah spoke to Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron when they offered before Jehovah and they died. The two sons, by the way, who had gone up to see the glory of the Lord in Exodus 24, they'd offered false fire. So you wouldn't want to be a false priest or a false king, as I say, when the Lord comes in a cloud to take up his throne in Israel's tabernacle or temple. And this is what the Lord said, Leviticus 16:1, and Jehovah spoke to Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, when they offered before Jehovah and they died. And Jehovah said to Moses, the holiness of the Lord, isn't it? The holiness of the Lord. And Jehovah said to Moses, "Speak to Aaron, your brother, that he does not come at all times into the sanctuary within the veil before the mercy seat, which is on the ark, so that he will not die. For I will appear in the cloud on the mercy seat." Ah, isn't it interesting? The Lord dwells in a cloud. Where does he dwell in the tabernacle, which was full of his glory? He dwells on the mercy seat in a cloud. It's not just he is in front or behind Israel in a cloud. It's not that just he descends in a cloud. It's not that a cloud covers the tabernacle. It's the fact that he is appearing in the cloud on the mercy seat in the tabernacle. How important is the cloud and the Lord's presence, do you think? How inseparable with Israel and the temple and the Lord's throne and the mercy seat is a cloud? If I do not have these things in my mind, it's Brian making that shirt again. It's Brian getting the arm where the neck should be and all the other mess. Now, friends, when we read about a cloud, do you see? Let's go back to Acts 1:6, because don't you love this? Don't you see how these things now tie together? And then indeed these coming together, they asked him, saying, Lord, do you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Verse 9, and saying these things as they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Do you think the cloud might have been significant to these disciples who had their minds opened and knew all that you and I are reading now and knew more about it than I do and we do together corporately? I guess verse 9 wasn't just an accident, huh, in Acts chapter 1. Back to Leviticus 16. And of course we have here an amazing thing. We have the Lord appearing in the cloud on the mercy seat. So that's really got the cloud right now into the very center of Israel's tabernacle. And of course, Aaron was the high priest. And Aaron typified Christ himself. For in Leviticus 16, we have indeed the great cleansing, the great day of atonement. He didn't, the high priest only went into the tabernacle once a year, didn't he? In Hebrews chapter 7, we know this. See if I can find it very quickly for you. In Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, I'm hoping. No, that isn't it. Oh, now that is, oh, Hebrews 9. Oh, well, let's try that. I can't read my own writing. Never mind, Hebrews 9. Now, when those things were ordained in this way, we have in verse 5, why don't I start at verse 3? And after the second veil was a tabernacle which is called the Holy of Holies, having a golden altar of incense and the Ark of the Covenant overlaid all around with gold, in which was the golden pot that had manna. Do you see? And Aaron's rod that budded, and the tablets of the covenant, and over it were the cherubs of glory overshadowing the mercy seat, about which we cannot speak piece by piece. But what do we know now from Leviticus 16? Between the cherub, on the mercy seat, on the Ark of the Covenant, the Lord's glory appeared in a cloud. Do you see? Now, once in the year, into the second or into this Holy of Holies, the high priest goes alone, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. What we have in Leviticus 16 is not only a statement that the Lord dwells on the mercy seat in a cloud, but that in that presence of the Lord in a cloud, the very cleansing that he has accomplished are the cleansings for the nation of Israel, which is the Day of Atonement, which immediately follows his descent in a cloud with a trumpet blast. So cloud, the Lord's presence in the Holy of Holies, relates to the national cleansing of Israel. And so all Israel shall be saved, writes Paul in Romans chapter 11, when the deliverer will come out of Zion. For this is my covenant with them when I have taken away their sins. Do you see? All of this coming in the clouds relates to God's glory on the earth in Israel's tabernacle and the cleansing of that nation, his servants, who are and will be a kingdom of priests. Cloud, kingdom of priests, tabernacle, the earth, and the church, Israel, are inseparable. You pull clouds out in the New Testament without knowing all of these patterns, then obviously we're going to be confused, aren't we? Now, something else about clouds, and we're bringing this little lesson to a close here shortly, but this is another of my favourite passages, and I'll tell you what, you might remember three Old Testament scriptures, my friends, and this Numbers 11 will be one of them. You know what happened in Numbers 11, don't you? Numbers 11, we have something spectacular. Again, it relates to the nation of Israel. Now, in Numbers 11, I'm going to just give you two verses. And Moses was burdened with the entire nation. You read about it earlier in the chapter. We don't have time tonight to look at it in detail, or piece by piece, as Hebrews 9 says. And Moses went out and told the people the words of Jehovah, and gathered the 70 men of the elders of the people and set them all around the tabernacle. Now, wait for it in verse 25, everybody. Wait for it. What word might you expect in verse 25? And Jehovah came down in a cloud. And spoke to Moses. Yep. And took of the Spirit on Moses and gave it to the 70 elders. And it happened when the Spirit rested upon them, they prophesied. But they never did so again. Cloud, the Lord descending, the Spirit taken off Moses and placed on a remnant. Oh my goodness me. I tell you what, friends, in Isaiah chapter 11, you have the sevenfold endowment of the Spirit on the deliverer. In John chapter 3, he gave the Spirit without measure to him. And the one, Peter says, who had ascended in Acts 2, shed forth the supernatural gifts on that remnant. And there is going to be this same deliverer coming in a cloud. I wonder what he's going to do when he comes in a cloud to Israel. Do you think he might give the supernatural gifts that Joel spoke about? Here's the pattern. Here's a cloud. Here's the Lord descending. Here's another element that belongs to the nation. And once again, friends, I have to ask you, is this difficult or is this a no-brainer, as we might say? You know, this becomes difficult when I don't follow the pattern and I wander off and just interpret how I like. Wow, isn't the New Testament becoming alive for you when we look at the pattern? And the problem is, we have to unlearn stuff, don't we? We have to let things go, like Pentecost is the birthday of the church, and the book of Acts is the beginning of the early church, and 1 Thessalonians 4, Christ is coming for the bride. No, he's coming to the bride because he's coming in a cloud, and he's cleaning out the temple where the Antichrist has set up his image, because in the tabernacle, on the mercy seat, he dwells in a cloud, and that's where his glory will be. That's what the pattern was in the Old Testament, and that's what the reality will be. Now, are you beginning to see how clear the post-Acts letters of Paul are? Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians 1 and 2, Timothy, Titus and Philemon? They have got nothing to do with the cloud. Nothing to do with a cloud. Why? Because the Lord coming in a cloud with a trumpet is all about the church Israel and the earth and the church which is the remnant, the believing Jews and Gentiles who had a first fruit in the Acts period and who had received, just like the 70 elders in Numbers 11, they had received supernatural gifts from the very one who had ascended in a cloud and is going to come in a cloud and endure the entire nation, as Joel 2 says. Now, there's something else that I want to look at about a cloud, Numbers 12. Did you know? I want to show you something. Do you know that Miriam and Aaron were Moses' brother and sister? And they got stuck into him about having taken a Cushite woman. And then they started to extend it a little further and said in verse 2 of Numbers 12, has Jehovah indeed spoken only by Moses? Has he not only spoken by us and Jehovah heard it? Oops-a-daisy. I tell you what, people. I have a statement in the front of my Bible which says, always make our words palatable because we never know when we might have to eat them. I tell you what, I've made mistakes with my mouth. I tell you, my friends, be very, very careful what we say. And I speak to myself here. And here's Aaron and his sister Miriam. They're putting it into Moses. Now, Moses was very meek, more than all the men on the earth, Numbers 12:3. And Jehovah spoke suddenly to Moses and to Aaron and to Miriam in verse 4. You three come out to the tabernacle of the congregation. Uh-oh. Getting called out here. And the three came out. Now, next verse, anyone want to have a guess what word might occur in the next verse? And before anyone can type it in, here it comes. And Jehovah came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood at the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both come forward. Now then, simple to say, and the anger of Jehovah was kindled against Aaron and Miriam. And the cloud moved from the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam had become leprous as snow. And Aaron looked on Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. I've got here a cloud and judgment on the people of Israel. Do you see all of these elements that relate to the church Israel? We've got a cloud and judgment. The Lord descending in fire on the mountain. We'll find that in Deuteronomy. We've got people at the base of the mountain. The earth opened up and swallowed them. We've got Miriam struck with leprosy. Cloud and judgment and wrath of God on the people of Israel. Hey, it's all a pattern, isn't it? It's all a pattern. Well, friends, I thought there might be another reference or two to that of the wrath of God too in a cloud. And it's number 16, just a final one. But on the next day, all the congregation of the sons of Israel, verse 41 of number 16, murmured against Moses and against Aaron, saying, you have killed the people of Jehovah. And it happened when the congregation was gathered together against Moses and against Aaron, they looked toward the tabernacle of the congregation, and behold, the cloud covered it, and the glory of Jehovah appeared. And the Lord said to Moses, get away from this congregation so that I may consume them in a moment. And they fell upon their faces. And Moses said to Aaron, take a fire pan and put fire in it from the altar and put on incense and go quickly to the congregation and make an atonement for them. For wrath has come out from Jehovah. The plague has become from Jehovah in a cloud. When we read about the Lord descending in a cloud and we read about wrath in the New Testament, I guess we've got a pattern which speaks about the nation of Israel. Do you get it? If we see wrath and suddenly start talking about the church, which is his body, we're not following the pattern, are we? This does, in fact, remind me of Revelation chapter 8. And I'm just going to throw it in for you to consider. But isn't it wonderful when we do know things in the Old Testament that we sort of get a connection when we read things in the New? Revelation 8:4, 8:4, and the smoke of the incense which came from the prayers of the saints ascended up before God from the angel's hands. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire from the altar and cast it into the earth, and voices and thunders and lightnings and an earthquake occurred. This is a censer being cast among the nation of Israel in the times of woes. I wonder if this is to stay or to preserve or to protect some of the nation of Israel, as it was in the pattern in the past. Anyway, friends, something for you to consider. Final point tonight, another one of my favourites in the Old Testament, is the Song of Moses. If you are a recipient of my email Bible lessons, you'll know that we have been seeing the Song of Moses in the book of Romans, written during the Acts period. And in Deuteronomy 31, which I should have had open, Deuteronomy 31, we have a cloud again. I guess you know there's going to be a cloud. And Jehovah said to Moses, verse 14, Deuteronomy 31, "Behold, your days are coming near to die. Call Joshua and present yourself in the tabernacle of the congregation, and I shall charge him." And Moses and Joshua went, and they presented themselves in the tabernacle of the congregation. And Jehovah appeared in the tabernacle in a pillar of a cloud, and the pillar of a cloud stood over the door of the tabernacle. And Moses, the Lord told Moses he was going to sleep with his fathers, and this is verse 19. "Now therefore," he said, "write this song for you, and teach it to the sons of Israel. Put it in their mouths, so that this song may be a witness for me against the sons of Israel." Now, the Song of Moses, Deuteronomy 32, verse 21, occurs in Romans 10, verse 19. And what is the Song of Moses about? It was given to the sons of Israel as a testimony, something to teach Israel. If the Lord appeared in a cloud to Moses and gave him the song, and it's something to teach Israel, I wonder what it is in Romans chapter 10, verse 19. In Deuteronomy 32:35, which is the song of Moses, it occurs in Romans chapter 12:19, possibly even 13, verse 4. And in the type, it was to teach Israel. And Deuteronomy 32:43 occurs in Romans 15:10, and it's to teach Israel. What is it then in Romans? And we'll pick up the next lesson by looking at this song and leading off into some other wonderful and exciting elements of the wonderful great pattern that we see in the Old Testament around the time of Pentecost. And we will more fully appreciate that the question asked by the disciples, "Will you at this time restore the kingdom?" included the Lord coming in a cloud with judgment, guiding Israel, revealing himself, pouring out his wrath, dealing with Israel's enemies, and ascending to the mercy seat where he will dwell in glory on the earth. And may the Lord continue to give you insights from his word in these wonderful truths. Thank you, Father, for tonight and for the joy we have in your word and the thrill we have together in fellowship. We bless and praise you for the patterns. Help us to learn them, to know them, so that the New Testament becomes alive as we see your faithfulness to your word, and to you be the praise and glory through Christ our Lord for all things. Amen.